الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم له معقبات من بين يديه ومن خلفه يحفظونه من أمر الله صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected brothers and elders, previous week we were speaking about the hadith in which Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, كنت خلف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يوما, that one day I was behind Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, and Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, فقال يا غلام إني أعلمك كلمات, that oh young child, I will surely teach you certain words and certain things. And he said, احفظ الله يحفظك, that be mindful of Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be mindful of you. احفظ الله تجده تجاهك, and be mindful of Allah, and you will find Allah in front of you. وَإِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ, and when you ask, then you should ask from Allah, Him alone. وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِمْ بِاللَّهِ, and when you beseech help, then beseech help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةَ لَوْ جَتَمَعَتْ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَنْفَعُوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ قَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ. Now remember and know that if all the people were to get together, عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَنْفَعُوكَ, and would try to help you and try to benefit you, then they will not be able to benefit you apart from that which has been written for you. وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَضُرُّوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَضُرُّوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ قَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ. And if everybody was to get together to cause harm to you, then remember, nothing they will not be able to cause harm to you but from that thing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already prescribed. رُفِعَتِ الْأَقْلَامِ وَجَفَّتِ الصُّحُفِ, the pens have been taken up and the books have been all dried from their wet inks. So my dear respected brothers and elders, this hadith I recited last week to you, and I explained that in the beginning that the first thing that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala an is to be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I explained that the meaning of being mindful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to be mindful of His injunctions and to be mindful of His prohibitions, meaning that those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed for us to do, that we should do those things. And those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited us from doing, we should refrain from doing those things. This is why the Quran says, from time after time, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ, that the successful mu'min, the successful believer has become successful. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ, that who have been very punctual, and not only that, but full mindful of their salah. That when they go into salah, they are fully devoted to their salah. حافظوا على الصلوات والصلاة الوسطى. The Quran says again in another place that be mindful of your salah and especially the middle salah. And وَعَوْفُوا بِالْعَهْدِ. The Quran again in another place says, be mindful of the promises that you make. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning places after places to be mindful of Allah's injunctions. وَالْحَافِذِينَ اللَّهُ وَالْحَافِذِينَ وَالْحَافِذَاتِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises those people who are mindful. The believing men who are mindful and the believing women who are mindful of what? Of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, places after places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, reminding us our duty, and reminding us that if we want to be successful and if we want Allah's protection and if we want Allah's help, then we have to be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's injunction. فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرُكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, remember me and I will remember you. What does that mean by remembering you? It means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forget you in your time of your need. It doesn't mean that Allah will remember you, that he's forgotten and suddenly he will remember. No, Allah knows everything. He never forgets. Allahu alimun bidhati sudur. Allah knows everything what goes in a person's mind. Inna Allah ya'lamu kha'inata, wallahu ya'lamu kha'inatal a'yun wa ma tukhfi as-sudur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what deceit their eyes are doing and what thoughts are going through the minds of the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that. إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادِ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of resurrection, on the day of Qiyamah, he will question about what? إِنَّ السَّمْعَ, about our listening, وَالْبَصَرَ, about our looking, وَالْفُؤَادَ, about our heart, the thought that go through our hearts, because he knows everything. عالم الغيب والشهادة. He is the one who knows the unseen and the seen. Nothing can go beyond his knowledge. His knowledge encompasses everything. So what does it mean by فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرُكُمْ? That remember me and I will remember you. What does it mean that إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهَ يَنْصُرُكُمْ? That if you help Allah, Allah will help you. Does that mean Allah is weak and needs our help? Inna Allah ala kulli shay'in qadir. The Quran says again that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power over everything. Inna batasha rabbika la shadeed. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again and again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions his strength and his power to remind us that whatever we do will not escape the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرُكُمْ. Remember me and I will remember you. So if we want the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we have to be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to inculcate the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. I must fulfill the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The awliya and the pious predecessors, they say, do not perform salah for the fear that Allah will punish you if you don't, but perform salah for out of love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the true quality of a mu'mineen. That he does his salah not because he will get punished if he doesn't, but he does his salah because he loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why a poet said, تَعْصِلْ إِلَهَ وَأَنْتَ تُظْهِرُ حُبَّهُ وَهَذَا لَعُمْرِي فِي الْفِعَالِ بَدِيعُ لَوْ كَانَ حُبُّكَ صَادِقًا لَأَطَعْتَهُ فَإِنَّ الْمُحِبَّ لِمَنْ يُحِبُّ مُطِيعُ. The poet says, تَعْصِلْ إِلَهَ وَأَنْتَ تُظْهِرُ حُبَّهُ. That you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet you proclaim that you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهَذَا لَعُمْرِي فِي الْفِعَالِ بَدِيعُ. I swear by my life, this is something which is very astonishing. Why? لَوْ كَانَ حُبُّكَ صَادِقًا لَأَطَعْتَهُ فَإِنَّ الْمُحِبَّ لِمَنْ يُحِبُّ مُطِيعُ. Because if your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was true, then لَأَطَعْتَهُ, then you had followed him, would have followed his command. Why? فَإِنَّ الْمُحِبَّ لِمَنْ يُحِبُّ مُطِيعُ. It's because the lover always follows what the beloved wants. The lover will always do what the beloved wants. So if Allah is our beloved, and we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we will do it because we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't need any sticks or any carrots. The carrots Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given Jannah, on the other side the stick is the punishment of the hereafter. We will do it because we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the true subservient, that is the true status of a true believer. But until then, at least have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That one day we will have to face our Lord. One day we will have to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And no one will be able to move their feet until they give answer to four questions. لا تزال قدم عبد حتى يسأل عن أربع عن عمره فيما أفناه وعن شبابه فيما أبلاه وعن ماله من أين اكتسبه وفيما أنفقه وعن علمه ماذا عمل فيه أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that a person will not be able to move his two feet until he gives answer to the four questions. Until he gives answer to four questions. An umrihi fima afna. That the life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me and you, where did you spend that life? Where did you spend that time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allocated to us? Wa an shababihi fima abla. And amongst that time, the golden age, the age of the youth, where did you spend that time? My dear respected brothers and elders, that is the golden portion of our life. The youth age. When a person is young, when a person has the ability, or he thinks he can move the world from east to west, from west to east, he has that kind of strength. When somebody says something to him, he looks up and says, what are you saying? He thinks he has all the strength. Yet in spite of having this notion, he becomes subservient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In spite of having the gracious urge of committing sin and the ability of committing sin, yet he controls his desires, he controls his nafs, and he put his head in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is because of that, in spite of having everything against him, his own desires prompting him, and not just having those desires, but the ability to fulfill those desires, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept a special place under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Under the shade of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّهُ. That on the day of Qiyamah, on the day of Qiyamah, there will be no shade apart from the shade of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reserved for seven categories of people, and one of them will be شَابٌ نَشَأَ فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ. about that young people, that young person, in spite of having the ability to commit sin, in spite of having the ability to do wrong things, what does he do? He spends his youth in worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reserve, will allocate him a special place when the sun will be pelting down on everybody, when everybody will be saying, ya nafsi, what is going to happen to me? What is going to happen to me? Where is my final abode? Is it going to be in paradise or is it going to be in the fire of hell? People will be sweating in their own sweat, so much so that they will be drowning in their sweat. Yet these people will be enjoying the shade for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reserved for certain people. And one category is shabun nafsi. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask on the day of Qiyamah, wa an shababihi fi ma abla, about that youth, where did you spend that youth? Wa an malihi, and the fourth, third question, wa an malihi min ayna iktasabahu wa fi ma anfaqa, about the wealth that you earn, where did you earn it from and how did you spend it? My dear respected brothers, elders, I have heard people saying that when it comes to dunya, they don't look at deen. As long as money comes in, they don't look at the way it comes. Deen is only confined to the masjid. Deen is only confined to the five pillars. But when it comes to wealth, you earn it how you can. And what, on top of that, they say we pay taxes on it. So by paying taxes, it becomes halal now. My dear respected brothers, elders, that is not the case. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us, where did you earn it from? And if you are the lucky one who has earned it halal, earned it correctly, we still have to face one more question. What is that? Where did you spend that wealth? If you spent it wrongly, if you have earned it wrongly, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not ask where you spent it, straight away into fire of hell. You earned it the wrong way. Now where you spend it doesn't make any difference. But if you earned it correctly, and you had the privilege of earning it correctly, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask, okay, where did you spend it? Did you buy lottery tickets with it? Did you go and buy movies with it? Did you go to the cinema with it? Did you buy clothes which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disliked? Did you do the wrong things with it? What did you do with it? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask. And the fourth and last question before I finish. وَعَنْ مَالِهِ وَعَنْ عِلْمِهِ مَاذَا عَمِلَ فِيهِ, about the knowledge that we know, how much did we act upon it? How many of us know that 5 times salah is fard, yet how many of us perform it? How many of us know that hajj, pilgrimage is fard, but how many of us have done it? How many of us know that to give zakat is fard, but how many of us do it? How many of us know that fasting in the month of Ramadan is fard, but how many of us do it? How many of us know that to obey our parents is compulsory, but how many of us obey our parents? How many of us know that to lie is haram, but how many of us do abstain from it? How many of us know that stealing is haram, yet how many of us abstain from it? How many of us know that swearing is haram, but how many of us abstain from it? How many of us know that causing grief and pain to others is haram, but how many of us abstain from it? Etc. etc. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to practice himself.